Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back, After Buzzers. Tonight, we are breaking down the season finale of Real Housewives of Potomac. We're talking about Ashley getting sealing that bag and getting pregnant. We're talking about LaDom, the old woman's fragrance. And we're talking about matching tattoos. I don't know why. All that and more coming up for you next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys. What's up, party people? Welcome back. I missed y'all. Welcome back, you guys. I am Erica Edwards, and we're here for the Real Housewives of Potomac After Show, the finale, Mom's the Word. It's going to be a great episode, so stay tuned, because we got gossip, news, all that stuff, tweets, all that and more, but I couldn't do it without my posse, without my girls. So give it up for the queen of the Giselle fan club, Alexis.
Hey, everybody.
If she can't stand Ashley, give it up for Danny.
Hey, guys.
And give it for the all things news, the lovely Lauren.
Hey, guys.
All right, you guys. So this episode was interesting. I will say an interesting finale. What did you all think about it overall, the whole episode? What were your thoughts, ladies?
I think for it to have been a season finale, it was very underwhelming. I think it's going to lead into a really good reunion. But as far as this episode specifically, I was like a little bored, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, I was bored too. Like, yeah, I was bored with it. I felt like they could have given us a little bit more to go into, you know, the reunion, but they gave us what they gave us.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like they could have gave us more going into the finale. I was like, this is the finale? Is this week? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was right on, like, ready for this.
Right.
Like, yeah, a finale like you usually are.
Exactly. I literally think I fell asleep at parts, and then I was like, okay, I was watching other recaps. I was like, oh, wait, did I see that? Did I even nap on that?
Yeah.
So I definitely found it a little dry. Like, I'm not all about drama, but there wasn't that much action for me, anyway. Not
yeah,
the way we like it. But I agree. I think the reunions are going to be heated. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, because there's supposed to be three, which I think is a little extra. But maybe it'll be great and exciting, because nothing happened in this episode. All right. So let's start off. Like, I always like to start off with Monique, because I love her, but she's also the most boring. So, well, not the most boring, but she just basically, like, she's just pregnant.
Yeah,
you know?
She can't really
and
do much.
Right, exactly. So in this episode, really, she's about to drop the baby, and pretty much she has sort of a, you know, a brief interaction where Kieran sort of giving her a recap of the Cayman Islands trip. So I do think it's cute to see her and Kieran interact, but yeah, that's like, I don't know, the first 5 minutes, I was like, okay, rise and shine, Erica, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
But what are your thoughts, ladies?
I pretty much agree with you. Why?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Monique needed to know what happened so she could stay in the loop. So
yeah,
great that she's informed, but I didn't care to want to see it.
I feel like it was another filler for Monique.
Absolutely.
Like,
and that's kind of scary, because I'm like, okay, this is what y'all did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You all keep doing this almost every episode. Like, okay, we want to let you know Monique's still part of the cast, but she's not doing anything.
Like, yeah.
Colin, Karen, please go over to Monique's house today and talk to her.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely felt like those contractual 3 minutes that Monique's entitled to.
Right.
I get the whole pregnancy thing, but, like, we can get something. I was happy we didn't see her forcing her children to do an activity this time. Like,
right,
she didn't force feed them fishing or CPR classes.
Right.
Thank you.
But,
thank you, producers.
Yeah, I know the kids are saying thanks, because they just want to be kids, not take CPR classes.
Mm-hmm.
At, what, 3? Milani's, like, 3. But, okay.
Yeah.
It was just boring.
Okay.
I'm ready for her to be unpregnant.
Same.
Right, same.
Yeah, I agree, too. And I think, sort of like with all the franchises, well, I think it's great to have, like, you know, I support pregnancy. It's kind of boring as a storyline for the whole season. Like, I need, I don't know, for any show, I want you to interact a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's boring when they're, like, stable and happy. Because we've seen other people, like, be pregnant and their life is in, like, you know, Portia, like, is her man cheating on her? Yeah. So it's just, like, it just sucks. Sounds so bad, but she's happy and she has a supportive partner. Yeah. So boring.
Right. Or, yeah, exactly. Because I feel like if it was Giselle being pregnant, if you're already messy and you're pregnant, then that might work.
Yeah.
But you know, you're nice and cool and collected and pregnant. Like, you know, you might need to just take a vacation.
And it just seems like she didn't really want to be around the girls.
Exactly.
So she wasn't really interacting much with them. When we saw her, it was just her hanging out with her husband.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. She got on Candace a couple times, but that was really like the most of her little, her little escapades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we finally see Ashley getting her paycheck, baby. So,
no, Erica.
No, I'm sorry. All children are blessings. Whether they're blessings to your bank account or to your life, they're still a blessing nonetheless.
I think she really wanted a baby. I don't think it was about the money as far as the baby. I don't know about the marriage, but the baby, I think she really wanted a baby.
I mean, I think she wants both. I think she wants to secure income from Michael, and I think she also wants to be a mother. I do think that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even her friend Giselle said it. She said she secured that bag. Okay, so. Yes.
And Giselle would know.
Right, she would know, so.
Exactly. Shit. Birds of a feather. Now, so how did you guys feel about Michael's reaction to the pregnancy? Because there are a lot of things, a lot of feedback online, and sort of to me, you know, when I was awake for it, it was very sort of lackluster. Like, I think he's all in right now, but I think at the time he's like, dang, she really got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, he didn't seem happy at all. He kind of seemed like he was a little bummed that she was pregnant, especially when she was having the conversation with her mother. He was like, he, like, wiped away a tear, but I felt like it was more of a tear out of sadness.
Right. It could have been sweat from that yoga workout.
Or just tears out of, like, dang, I'm really about to do this again. Yeah. That's how it felt to me.
I thought he would be more excited because they've been trying for so long. Mm-hmm. And, like, they've had so many miscarriages and just being let down in that. But he was not feeling it like that. Mm-hmm. He wasn't into it like you would think he would be.
Yeah.
Same. I'm really curious to know, because we know that Michael has an estranged relationship with his existing children that are older than Ashley. like, maybe, I don't know, I don't feel like he was probably involved in the other pregnancies of his other children either.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of seems like he's just disconnected AF. Yeah. Like, it was wrong and it was sad to see, but I kind of feel like that's just who he is.
Yeah.
And maybe now that he sees the baby as his twin, maybe he feels more of a connection. I don't know.
Right,
maybe.
You could be right. Yeah.
Exactly, because I felt all along, or sort of maybe except when he was crying at Monique's party, I felt like he was kind of just going along to get along. Mm-hmm. He's like, we back together, I like the sex, I'll agree to this.
Yeah.
But not like he was necessarily totally gung-ho.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think once she kind of turned out to really be pregnant, he's still sort of lackluster about it to me.
Right.
Yeah. Which I get, because he's like 80 and now he has a newborn. And so, I mean, and like you said, he has grown kids. So even though he wasn't in their lives, he doesn't have to worry about them. But now he has a whole newborn. So I get it, but I would have liked to see a little bit of emotion from you, Michael.
Yeah, you knew that when you married a child.
Yeah.
Like, but you meant that she would eventually want a child. Mm-hmm. So get it together, Michael. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And she stood by you through a lot this season. So I need you to act a little bit on the episode.
Mm-hmm. Like,
you know, even if you don't feel it, fake it. Because you're not doing a very good job right now.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Now, it was cute to see her mom.
I love that part.
Yeah.
That was adorable. Personally, I feel like she could have been a little more creative than peeing on a stick.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Well, she tried to be. She tried to do the little thing on her stomach.
It was not thought out at all. Yeah. Like, no. The stickers, come on, girl.
And, like, let's work out and sweat so our stickers fall off.
What is the yoga for? Yeah. I don't understand. There's so many other ways that you can do this.
Yeah.
I guess she wanted her mom to open her eyes. She'd be laying there like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
is
just really awkward.
I will blame her lack of creativity on hormones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I was like, okay. But her mom, it's good to see her and her mom really connecting.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment still.
And, you know, it's nice to see that her mom has squashed whatever was there between her and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So that part is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So before we move on to the fun topics of tonight, Dani has something exciting to tell you guys.
Yes, we want to thank you guys so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we can really use your help. Please make sure to comment, like, and subscribe. If you are on iTunes, give us a rating and give us a comment there too. We love AfterBuzz so, so much. And we want to thank you guys for tuning in with us each and every week. We love y'all, okay?
Exactly. And if you're watching right now, give us a thumbs up because you're already watching.
Yep.
Yay.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about our favorite Giselle and her raggedy home. Gosh. Well, no, it's
favorite.
Not. Okay. Well, I meant me. Right. I meant me and Alexis. Favorite on the right side. okay, so let's talk a little bit about Giselle. Again, I do feel strongly that outside of her, I guess, beefing with Karen. She doesn't have much of a storyline, but we have some news and gossip on her, so maybe next season that will improve. Mm-hmm. So really it's almost like the house was her thing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to need you to do something in this house before you keep bringing the cameras here. Like, mm-hmm. why do we keep seeing the same sort of raggedy run through?
Yeah.
But it was cute to see sort of Robin in a place of authority and kind of being like, girl!
Being helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what did you guys think about their little...
It was just... There's no improvement, like, happening to the house. And, like, every time we're seeing, like, just this rundown house. And I'm like, where are the people that are supposed to be fixing this house up? Mm-hmm. You're showing us nothing different every episode. Mm-hmm. What are we looking at right now?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I don't know what we're supposed to... I guess we're supposed to imagine what it's going to look like after. Because she's not giving us anything.
Yeah, I don't really get to... Do we know why did Giselle want to leave Potomac and move to that home in Bethesda just so she could have her own, or like she wanted to do without, like, what was her reasoning?
Well, so far in the episodes we've seen, she just said she wanted her own place because I guess her ex got the other place. But that was it. Like, she didn't really... They haven't really fleshed that out.
Yeah, it just seems random. I'm like, girl, why you leaving the Potomac zip code to go to... Like, Bethesda's beautiful, too. Like,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Higher echelon, whatever. But I just didn't get the point. Like, why would you want to start that project when you already have a home? Mm-hmm. But maybe it's way bigger than the one she's in. I don't know. I just, like you said, it wasn't fleshed out at all. It's like one day she's like, yeah, I got a house, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, what I really did find interesting, one of the tidbits I found interesting from this sort of segment about Giselle and what she's dealing with is that in paying both mortgages and the contractors, her coins is thin. So I was like, I don't know. One, I thought that was, you know, hopeful. I'm guessing authentic, but an interesting thing, because it's like, you know, like, what's going on? Because they're not working that hard, so you're not paying the contractors that much.
Right.
And you do have Hue Beauty in stores. So, you know, I was kind of curious about, like, what's going on.
I was
her
about
finances.
To say something shady, which I know.
You
I
go
like
ahead
that.
No, call out your girl. She's a co-owner of Seven. How many of them is on it?
I was just gonna say, I mean, I know it's in Target, but do people really use Hue Beauty like that?
You don't have it in every shade?
Right.
President. I'm just kidding.
I don't wear makeup. I'm just kidding. I mean, I don't ever see it at my Target, so.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
I mean, also not shade, just a fact.
I mean, no, that's shade to Target, because Target don't carry it everywhere. They have to think it's enough black people for them to put it in there.
Facts.
So it's not actually shade on
and
Giselle.
And I also don't live in a highly, you know, black people.
Oh, my God. Now she coming
all
to
right, well, I live in well, I know, live they in don't the need hood, so I'll let y'all know next
I'm just going to shut up.
But yes, I did find that whole little interaction interesting. And, you know, so we want to find out, hopefully, you know, we wish the best for Giselle and, mm-hmm. you know, and all things. And yes. To me, even at the end of the episode, when they showed her moving into the home, it didn't look that great to me. I was like, wait, have they done something? It still looked like...
And it wasn't even fully done.
Okay.
It was like the kitchen.
Yeah,
the kitchen
that's all
cool,
that really was.
But
yeah.
It didn't look like... dope, this is mine, this is me, this is who I am.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't look what I expected from her.
And Robin said this, I would have liked, like Robin said, for her to just had torn the whole house down and just built something new, because I really don't like the way the outside looks.
I didn't think it was that cute either. When Robin said that, I was like, she's so right, because that outside just looks like, blah, I live in the suburbs, too.
Yeah.
It didn't really look like, oh, it's a multi... I mean, it's multi-million dollars because of the area. Bethesda is a great area, but as far as... the, you know, the aesthetic of the home, I was like, oh, it looks
Yeah, that's why it makes me wonder, is she being pushed out of where she lives now?
Oops.
Because why is she rushing?
That's a good point.
Because I feel like if you were going to spend that much money, you wouldn't settle for something that was like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's like, I got the coin to do it. Okay. But that doesn't mean that you're going to settle for that. Mm-hmm. Like,
exactly.
No.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the Moore Manor and the Sheree folks on,
right,
you know, on Atlanta, even their houses were a little bit doper. So, and they have no money. So, I don't.
They also live in Atlanta, though. So,
yeah,
they are
for that. I'm up for your money in Atlanta.
You get a $5 house in Atlanta. It's amazing.
You think Kenya don't have no money?
Well, at the time, she didn't. Now, I think she's straight, though.
Okay, true.
But yeah, so it's interesting. I think we'll have to find out a little bit more. I do appreciate that Giselle sort of being open about her finances, because I know a lot of times in all the Housewives franchises, everybody's sort of faking the funk about their money. So it's nice to see somebody being like, look, I can't afford all of this, and I know the house is raggedy, but we moving in anyway because I ain't got no more money. So that part was kind of, I appreciate her being authentic, you know, throughout this episode, if not also shady. All right, you guys. All right. So I am going to say this right now because I have said all along that I did not believe Juan wanted that baby girl till I heard it from his mouth, and I did, and it was sweet and nice. So I take back all that shade and how many millions of episodes I've been on here. So it was cute to see Robin and Juan and the boys, although, like, I'm totally not feeling the tattoo thing, but it was cute to kind of see their interaction, and he's like, okay, you know, have another baby, but I don't know with him.
If she gives him another baby for that little square that they got on a finger, then I just can't.
No, but seriously, though.
Like, that little, teeny weeny little tattoo on the finger that you can't even see.
I mean, you could easily have, like, oh, I got a cut and wear a Band-Aid. Like, I don't get it.
I agreed with Giselle. Like, you can literally only see it if you're looking for it.
Yeah,
it could have been, like, a Beyonce, Jay-Z type thing where it's,
like on the, the front of the finger, like... They literally would have to walk around like this for anybody to know that it's there.
Exactly.
And they're just like, oh, that's commitment. No, it's not.
And it doesn't say anything about, like, it's just hard. Like, it could mean anything.
Yeah.
Especially
if they split up, it could be like they both just got this tattoo.
And I think that's why they got that, because I don't think they really think it's for forever.
I don't think so either. And because I feel like that little tattoo is not going to keep the hoochies away. I'm just
not at all.
It'll keep me away because I watch the show. But anybody who does not watch the show is not even going to know to look for it. And if they found it, they wouldn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, Robin saying that the tattoo would show their boys that they don't have to worry about their parents not being together. How do two and two go together?
Yeah.
How would that make them think that they don't have to worry about their parents? It's a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just marry her. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm confused.
Yeah,
those boys are probably so confused.
So confused.
Like, imagine having, like, when they start dating and have to get married. Like, that's, like...
Yeah.
That's a lot. I don't know. I almost wonder, like, Robin, do you not want to be married? And Juan, do you not want to be married? But you're just kind of going through this
because
for other
people?
You
have to.
Because part of me, and some people, I saw some people bring this up, like, on Instagram and on Twitter. Sometimes I feel like Juan is just like, I'm tired of making her look like an idiot every season. So this season I'm going, you know, straighten up and fly right or something. Like, I mean, this is the closest I've ever seen them, so I totally endorse that. But it's like, you know.
I think it's just easier for Juan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just easier to stay with your child, your kid's mom or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't see, like, chemistry in the relationship at all.
They seem so awkward to
me.
I don't really see it on her end either. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like they're both probably doing the in this for the kids thing.
Right.
And they're just going through the motions, and they're pretending maybe just solely for the storyline. Because I don't think Robin wants to marry Juan. She might not want him to marry anybody else, or and the same for both of them. But I don't think they really want to be married to each other on either end. I think they're just going through the motions.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the first maybe season or two, she was definitely clearly still angry about his cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though they were still together, she was still really mad. Then after a while, she's just like bored. And then he had that little girlfriend for a second. And then this season has been the closest they've been, but it still seems like you're really cool cousin or you're really cool friend. I mean, there are a few little romantic interludes, but
it always feels awkward. Like, I'm like, do y'all kiss each other? Like, why every time y'all about to kiss, it's like, it just feels
it's like
weird.
The first time right, or something. Yeah.
It always feels like maybe the second date. Like, yeah. Obviously y'all know each other, but y'all ain't never done it, you know, or something. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's always a little bit kind of surprising.
Robin is bold for him allowing him to let her get the tattoo first. No. If I'm ever getting a tattoo with a significant other, you go first. Mm-hmm. Because what you won't do is back out and have me looking stupid.
Yeah.
So she was bold for that. I was like, girl, okay.
Well, all she was getting was a dot. So.
Right.
No, I know.
Trust him.
And why was he being such a wimp about it? And you already have all these other
six tattoos.
I'm totally confused.
When they
that.
Said that, I was like, okay, he really does not want to get this tattoo. He's not feeling it. Because if you have tattoos all over your body, that did not hurt you.
Right.
Yeah.
She should have been embarrassed.
I don't know. I just feel like I can see them, like, maybe being, like, the two of them, like, being cool. I wouldn't say quite cousins, but just, like, cool friends. Like,
yeah,
with history.
Yeah.
But I would see them being like, all right, so we got to think of something to do for this show. Let's get these little like, I don't know. I feel like they're more in on it together than mm-hmm. we're seeing. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like... I don't know.
It's
I feel
fake.
Like they're just, yeah, I just feel like they're faking it. Like, mm-hmm. they're just like, we just gonna do this. We probably both dating other people mm-hmm. for the kids and for the show. Because
exactly.
It does make sense otherwise.
Right.
I mean, I definitely am agreeing with you on that. Because, you know, I think there were a couple episodes this season where I was like, ooh, it's almost a connection. And then, but yeah, like this episode, I was like, okay, you guys, now I'm not buying it. I'm just mm-hmm. not. And I don't know. I mean, I want... For everybody, I want them to be happy. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, if we want it scripted, we will watch a scripted show. So, I want them to get together or break, like, to be honest.
Yeah.
This whole, like, influx, but she's afraid to date anybody and he's dating on a down low is, you know.
Even though I think it would make her look really stupid and I don't think their relationship is real, I actually would be really happy if they did have a baby.
I want them to have a baby if they legitimately try to make their marriage work. Because I feel like having a baby just like for our enjoyment or because he wants a little girl, mm-hmm. but y'all not really clicking it together,
it just sounds
like it could be more crazy.
Yeah.
But I definitely think the baby will be adorable.
So cute.
And it would be nice to see the boys with the sister and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I want it to like actually be genuine.
I think.
I think that's why Robin doesn't want to have a baby. She's saying she doesn't want any more kids, but I think it's because she knows the vibe isn't right.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true. All right, let's move on to Candace and Chris. We're talking about freedom. Okay, so Candace is supposedly, you know, we do see at the episode that she does write one check, but she's trying to finally break free of her mother and pay her whole mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys feel about her dialogue with Dorothy?
Dorothy likes to be in charge, and that showed because she, like any other mom, would be like, yay, like you're finally, because she was acting as if, you know, Candace, you know, depending on her was too much, but now Candace doesn't want to depend on you, and it's like
upset.
You're salty.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, okay. Any other mom would be like, I'm proud of you. Good job. Like, mm-hmm. you're taking it over. You're growing up.
Yeah.
But I think she likes to have some control over Candace at all times.
For mm-hmm. sure. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
But the actual conversation seemed mature and better. Like, they weren't yelling and screaming and hollering. It came across as kind of a mature conversation. But
I think that Chris is, like, such a help for Candace.
Yeah.
Like, because I feel like if he wasn't sitting next to her in that conversation, he's kind of like her accountability in that mm-hmm. situation, because that could have went left quick, but she was like, you know, you 50 and that's all I'm going to say. Like, she left it at that. But I feel like if Chris wasn't there, they would have been going
very
back at
point.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So on that point, do you feel like Candace and her mother are in competition of some sort?
I think her mother is in competition with her. I don't think Candace is in competition with her mother, but her mom just seems like she just got a lot. The competition, the control, she got a lot going on.
You know, she just always wants to feel needed. Like, maybe now that she doesn't have to pay that mortgage anymore, she feels like she's not needed anymore. But she should voice that in a better way. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're my daughter and I love you and I want you to always be my daughter. And well, I guess she's always going to be her daughter, but always be my baby and always need me. And now that she's really pushing away, it's like, well, what am I here for?
Exactly. And I hope, perhaps, assuming that Candace comes back, we also see a little bit more of her sister. Because it seems like her sister has found some way to kind of, make it be normal, and either, you know, has made some sort of adjustments where the mother doesn't control her, but they're still able to interact in at least, you know, a semi-healthy way. But we don't really know. But I'd like to see more of that sort of interaction, because it seems like her sister doesn't have these issues.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so it would be interesting to see, you know, a little bit more what's going on that tip. And part of me got the vibe from Dorothy, like, yeah, I'll see it when I believe it, when y'all start writing them checks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was like, oh, yeah, you know, I showed you the way. You'll be great. But I think she was kind of like, yeah, girl, wait till the check's
clear. Okay, yeah, that's a good point, too.
And I'm kind of like that, too. Like, let me see the check's clear, girl, too.
Yeah.
But
and more than one check.
Exactly.
Watch next season. Well, my mom started back paying her mortgage.
Thank you. Or she put a down payment on the new place that they mm-hmm. want to get or something mm-hmm. like that. But I do feel like it was a good try, Candace, you know, so it was a good thing to at least attempt to do and see if she follows through and where she goes with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so who knows? But the thing with Dorothy and Candace, and we see some of this in the previews, is Dorothy has a habit of just talking to her like, well, I guess they both talk to each other really, really reckless, like to the point where it's like, okay, you have no boundaries and you'll say anything crazy mm-hmm. to your child that's like, to some extent, inappropriate. Like, she's too quick to call her a B, or, you know, she's just too quick to just say crazy stuff.
I don't think it's really a some extent thing. It is inappropriate. And I think that Candace talks to her mother that way because if your mom talks to you that way, like, I don't know, I think a lot of the onus, in my opinion, still falls on the mother. But Candace is an adult now, and I think she is getting to that point, like, the therapy, trying to pay the bill, she's getting to that point of, I need to accept accountability mm-hmm. and reparent myself as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know, I feel like a lot of it, I just know people go in on Candace, but she was raised to be that way, so we have to acknowledge that. Very she true. Was raised to be financially dependent, so the mm-hmm. mom can have the control, mm-hmm. so she could feel needed, so mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
she'll
agree.
Figure it out, though, and I think Chris, if anything, is going to help her get closer, if it doesn't tear them apart.
Exactly. Yeah, he definitely stabilizes her and I think kind of grounds her and gets her back into the real world with us. So I like that a lot.
What I want to know is, how did they come to the decision of they're just going to stay where they are and not go get a brand new house? Because we know that's what Candace wanted. So was it Chris pulling her to the side? Like, look, we don't got money like that. So we need to stay where we are.
I absolutely think it was. Because he was all the time, he was like, girl, no, we mm-hmm. don't have it. So I think finally she probably really thought it through and listened to him. I hope. But mm-hmm. that's what I agree with you. I think that's what happened. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys. So before we get out, we're going to wrap it up with the Ladum reveal party and everything Karen Huger. So again, I will say Karen is looking fierce this entire episode, even in her confessionals with her own or the short blonde wig, all of it. I'm loving the blonde on her. And it was interesting to see how she maneuvered with Giselle. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys feel about the Giselle-Karen sort of interaction?
I feel like it was faking off for show, like a lot of their interactions.
Yeah. I think Karen, she said that she's my frenemy, and that's what they are. They're frenemies.
Yeah.
I didn't expect the shout out for Giselle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Karen took it like, well, her doing that was like pushing me. But Giselle was doing that to be messy. Like, anytime that she talked about it, it wasn't her pushing you as a friend, like, you need to get this in order, da da da. It was her being messy. So, like, I don't know how Karen saw it as, like, oh, well, this pushed me.
Well, see, what I thought was, kind of a little bit of both. I thought that was Karen's classy way of throwing shade at Giselle, because I think she's well aware that Giselle was just being trifling, mm-hmm. and that's how she definitely has been taking it. Mm-hmm. So I think this was her way to be like, yes, Giselle motivated me. Ha ha ha. Like, I hate you, girl.
Right.
So, nice, nasty.
But yeah, exactly. I think it was a little bit of both, like, because I don't think she, you know, I think she just found a way, okay, let me rephrase it, but Giselle, I know what she was doing, mm-hmm. you know? And then even in this episode, Giselle was constantly like, oh, I'm so proud of you, and then constantly throwing digs, like,
shade.
Does she really own it, you know just constantly, and we love you, Giselle, but take a breather.
Right.
I don't get why Rob and Giselle, and even Monique mentioned, like, I hope it's a real thing. Like, they're acting like this is She by Sheree. And Lexi and I have talked about this. Like, she's started working on this last season. Like, a year, a year and 4 months, counting the development phase mm-hmm. and all those. That's realistic to develop a fragrance and get it in stores and mm-hmm. get it distributed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. they're making it sound like she's like she by Sheree-ing it, like stretching it out over seasons.
I don't think they know what moving in silence is.
Right.
And that is what Karen does. She moves in silence. She doesn't have to tell you when every, like, next step is taken. Mm-hmm. But they, I guess they're not used to that, or they feel like because she's on the show, or because she's friends with them, she has to disclose everything that she's doing. I hate that, because Giselle says that all the time. Like, but you don't tell me this, you don't tell me that. She is not obligated to tell you anything about her business.
Exactly, exactly. Because yeah. we all know she's telling that white man friend that she hired, Mark or whatever his name is. Mark right. or Matt, Matt or whatever.
Yeah.
That's who she tells, because she pays him and he doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. So we did see him appear tonight and he helped her get the venue and stuff. No shade. And if you would love to come on our show, we would love to have you. but yeah, I agree with you, Danny, on that, in that Giselle seems to feel some kind of way because Karen isn't revealing every, like, oh my gosh, it's coming out of Wisconsin today, like every little business venture. And mm-hmm. she knows that they, at least while she's been developing this, they haven't been that close anyway. So she wouldn't tell you if she was going to tell somebody.
In their defense, though, Karen do be lying sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, she hasn't really much so this season, but there's been plenty of instances over the years on Potomac where they've caught her in lies, and even to the point where I was like, this woman is a liar. So I wouldn't put it past her lying about having a perfume line, especially every time you bring it up, you're being so secretive about it. And I totally agree, you don't have to tell everybody every step of what you're doing, but at the same time, like, it wouldn't be the first time she made something up.
Okay, so I do agree that Karen very often does live in her own fantasy world. Although I do think that her parents' passing did really kind of ground her. I think between the parents' passing and the taxes stuff, like mm-hmm. once she really found out all this stuff was going on with Ray and like really found out like what the real deal is and how much they really owe the IRS, I think since then, if she's not telling anybody everything, she's still not totally being fake, and we don't know where the pizza's being delivered at. Is she living there? You know, like, I do feel like she's back more in the real world and trying to be more honest, at least mm-hmm. this season. Yeah. But I agree with you. Yeah, she, you know, she's been lying for a while, so.
I was wondering, though, like, we know now that it's in, like, what, Bloomingdale's?
Mm-hmm. But that was the thing. I thought it was, but is it actually in Bloomingdale's or was it just a pop-up? Because then when I was reading things about it, it seemed like it was just a pop-up, but it wasn't in there permanently. So I'm not sure on that one, but that's, I read things that said
I read that the Tyson's Corner, when we first started the show, that was a pop-up, but now it's going to be in there permanently. Don't quote me, but I did, because I was curious, too.
Yeah, and
I read
I've heard both. So we're going to get back to you guys on that, because I do kind of want to find that out.
But I did wonder on the show when she had made that announcement if it was already in the works and there really was a deal, or if she was just kind of making something up since she didn't actually name drop what it was.
I also felt like maybe she was, you know, trying, you know how you have your people, you know how it is, because, you know, we in L.A., so plenty of people be like, oh, I'm working on this, I got a pilot, and then it never comes to fruition. So I kind of felt like maybe they were talking, but you look like an idiot if you say it and then it falls through.
Yeah, and then it doesn't happen. Very true.
Right. So maybe they were like in meetings, but not quite all the way there yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. I think, like you said, she learned her lesson from, like, the big fairy tales. Mm-hmm. So I think, if anything, she was just like, let me just plant this seed, let Giselle, because she focused on Giselle a lot there. But, like, my haters know that it's going to be somewhere, but I don't want to put it out there and look stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. So I think she did have the meeting at least established at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So we cannot leave the discussion of the LaDom reveal party without talking about Katie and her glorious wig. Oh, my God. Yeah. We love you, girl. You're back. So Katie is back on the show. I don't know what. She got rid of the $5 wigs. This wig was at least $20, and she looked great.
You know?
At least. She looked really good. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that...
No, listen.
Robin tried to shade her the whole time, and Katie didn't care.
Looked great. Like, mm-hmm. well, it looked good compared to what she's had this
season. Yes, exactly.
But I couldn't help but wonder what the attire was for the event, because people had on, like, gowns. Like, real deal gowns. It wasn't just Karen, because I know it was her event. Monique had on, like, a gown. Ashley had on, like, a club
Katie
dress.
Had on, like,
and
pants.
Then Katie had on, like, leggings and a scarf.
Right,
and it's
yeah.
like, where are you going? Like, what type of event is this? Like, yeah, your hair looked good, but what are you wearing, sis? Yeah. No shade, Katie. I thought you looked amazing. This is the best you looked all season.
Which isn't
all
saying
season.
Much.
All Ooh. Season. Give us free, girl.
Like, when you look the mess the entire season, of course, when you look halfway decent at the end, we're like, oh, she looks good.
Exactly.
But, like, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Like, I was like, okay, maybe this is a day party. That's what I thought.
You're supposed to be queen of the galas. You had no dress to put on for this event.
She just don't care.
Okay. Yeah,
like,
true.
She just does not. I think that's what it is. She's like, look, I'm going to do my bare minimum. I'm going to show up, finish this contract out. I'm going to make sure my hair is done. I'm tired of wig jokes and...
Yeah,
she, away.
She, she must have caught wind of the wig jokes.
Yes. Yeah, so this is the best she's ever looked, although I totally agree with Alexis. I was like, ooh, she's going to a movie after this.
Yeah, yeah.
She
got
very cash.
Very cash.
Like,
so
I'm
funny.
Just kicking it.
Yeah.
All right. All right, you guys. And then one thing I did like, I loved in this episode, is that Robin, for some reason, and Giselle, they were so perturbed about Katie just leaving the Caymans. Mm-hmm. And so they kept like... Glad you're doing better, girl. Glad you're okay now. Ha, ha, ha. And I love the way Katie don't give a damn.
Yeah, she
and was like, yes, I'm living my best life. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Right.
I'm good. I am great. So that was so cool to see her kind of like not give in to their little shady moments.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just wanted to bring up, and I'm going to make it really quick, though, how... Katie had that event and Monique was like, oh, I can't go because I'm big and pregnant and I have nothing to wear, but she was able to find a gown for this event.
Absolutely. And this is the biggest she's ever been, I think.
Yeah.
ever.
She had the baby like what, maybe like 2 weeks later or something.
Exactly.
So
right.
it made me feel like she just didn't want to go to Katie's event.
Oh yeah, I've been using that excuse too.
Yeah,
y'all might hear it like, I can't go, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. So that pretty much wraps up the finale, people. So let's move on to our shadiest moments. Let's see.
I got a shady moment.
Go ahead.
So my shady moment would be Giselle saying that the fragrance made her feel like she was in her
70s.
But
yes.
When she was at the party, she was like, oh, this smells good. This is good.
Yeah.
Girl,
yes.
Stop. Yes. But it probably did because knowing Karen, it probably was like a, you know how like
mature.
Those old timey fragrances, like Chanel fragrances, they smell like kind of old.
Like lavender.
Yeah. So.
And is old. No shade. She's older.
Right.
So why not have an older smelling fragrance?
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I think that Giselle, when she said that Ashley got pregnant because the money was running out, so she needed that baby.
Yes, yes,
that was
yes.
the shadiest.
Yes. Alexis?
I'm just going to agree with Danny.
Yeah, so shady. I'm going to piggyback on Danny's with, not when she said maybe 76, but when she's like, I'm going to wear it on Thursday because I'm an old lady on Thursday.
Right,
or like,
smell
like
Ellen.
And then, and then I thought Karen was pretty shady with the frenemy line. Oh, and then Robin calling Karen basic.
Oh, yeah. That was random.
Yeah. I was like, oh, look at Robin going for the neck.
I mean, it was basic, but like, I know they had beef.
Exactly. Robin, you seem so nice, girl. All right, let's move on to, I have a few tweets for you guys.
I like the Omarion beef, though.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Me too. That was kind of nice.
Bree's feeling soulful.
Yes.
Okay, so this is from Attorney Bernie. Okay, cool. Did Candace really think that taking away her mother's last little stronghold in her life would help their relationship? That's for the mentally healthy people.
Facts.
Truth, Ruth. Very true, very true.
See no lies.
Exactly. Robin calling at Karen Huger basic. I mean, Karen is launching a fragrance for the finale. You, on the other hand, are getting a tattoo with your
wow, so, Jack.
Really awesome.
Very true.
See, shout out to the UK.
I'm gonna say, right. They do not play.
Katie says she didn't. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Katie says she didn't put on deodorant or shower. What? Katie, you're too free, girl.
Right.
I forgot about that.
That was hilarious. So funny. Okay. Shady Bravo with the Michael scene. Michael walks into the doctor's and says, I wish I could do this for you. Cameras move over to the giant pro.
I didn't even catch that. Wow.
Okay, Jack. We are loving
Jack
it.
Jack is shady.
Right.
All right, you guys. We are moving on to our news and gossip segment.
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Hey guys, it's Lauren Mayo with the news. And first, not only is Giselle. We're going to start with Giselle, actually. So, Giselle, it looks like she will have a storyline next season other than beefing with little old Karen. Focus on the old. She has her old man back. See, you see at the end, at the recap, they were saying she had an old flame that Dr. Ken approved of. Well, we think that it might be her ex, Jamal Bryant, Pastor Jamal Bryant. They were spotted at Dave Chappelle's comedy show, real, you know, cuddled up. So, I don't know. What do y'all think?
I don't know why Dr. Ken approved of it, but, you know, everybody has to backslide, girl.
Yeah,
so it happens.
It's been a while since what happened. So, people grow up, they move on, you know.
Maybe she's comfortable with him, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how his other children are going to factor in, because he did have children outside of his marriage with Giselle.
Okay.
And moving on, we have Robin and Katie. They're actually beefing, guys.
Like, for real beef.
Yes. Like, for real. So we had to have Robin and Katie. Sorry, I'm trying to read. Robin and Katie, they're beefing. Basically, Robin's credit card got declined in the Caymans, and Robin said that Katie, so she drinks while she's pregnant, and they're beefing.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. So you all know, catch us here on Sunday for part one of the reunion. There are three parts, so we got three more weeks with you guys. But before we get out of here, ladies, where can everyone find you?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Lauren Mayo. You can find me on Instagram at Lauren Out Loud.
I'm Danny B. You guys can find me on Instagram at TheDannyB.
I'm Alexis. You all can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at I am Lexi Fierce.
And I'm your host, Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, that's E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards. Ciao for now, folks.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Co-founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.